Hey, Derek.
Yes, Mike.
The Carolina Hurricanes have been playing amazing, undefeated hockey this preseason.
Gotta love it.
I love it. I can't believe that we are about to potentially finish the season undefeated.
Preseason?
I don't know if we're going to finish just preseason undefeated, Derek. I think there's a chance that this Carolina Hurricanes team can win it all. Come with me, Derek. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome your 2019 Stanley Cup Champion Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, your champions of the National Hockey League for the 2019 season, your Carolina Hurricanes. A little soon there. Hey, we let Freddie finish real quick.
Sure. You didn't let him finish either, Mike. You sung over him. So while I knew you're bringing this up, I went and looked at the preseason standings because for some reason this sort of thing is tracked. The Hurricanes are one of two unblemished teams. Mike, can you guess the other team to not suffer even an overtime loss in this preseason?
The other unblemished team, I am guessing, is going to be the St. Louis Blues?
Nope, the St. Louis Blues are 3-2-0.
Okay.
The other unblemished team at 6-0-0, the Detroit Red Wings.
The Detroit Red Wings.
Yep. Now, one big difference between us and Detroit...
they're awful.
Well, there's that. They have a goal differential in six games of +8, which is still very respectable.
Yeah, that's plus 1.5 a game ballpark.
Yep. However, the Hurricanes in four games have a goal differential of +15.
Gross.
We have scored 19. We have allowed but a mere 4 goals this preseason.
But Derek.
Yes,
Derek.
Mike.
Goaltending is going to be the issue for the Carolina Hurricanes this season.
Yes, it is.
But Derek, we have a brand new coach. We're not going to be able to score this season. Where's the offense going to come from?
I have no idea. We're only scoring just under 5 goals per.
But Derek, we don't have Derek Ryan. How are we supposed to function?
It's preseason, though. It's fun. It's fun to watch how the guys are playing for one another, scoring on the power play, not allowing a lot of goals on the penalty kill, things that we'll get into more detail about later, I don't know, say Sunday-ish. But Mike, for now, it is fun to see the dubs build up.
It's fun to see this Carolina hockey team get a little bit of momentum going into the season. It's fun to see Rod Brind'Amour getting a little bit of momentum going into the season, because had this team come out slow and not shown the ability to kind of fight for each other, which Rod Brind'Amour has been really kind of promoting all offseason as what he's going to be trying to instill upon this team, it feels again like this team is coming together maybe a little bit more quickly and a little sooner than anybody, including some of those in the national media, had thought about, Derek. So it's like you said, it's exciting. We're through four games of the preseason, another preseason game to come up on the road, and then big final preseason game on Sunday that's going to be part of the kickoff of Hockey Day in Raleigh that's going to culminate with a lot of fun on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But lots of stuff to talk about today. Sean Leahy's on the podcast. Sean Leahy, formerly of Puck Daddy, currently chief editor and bottle washer over at Pro Hockey Talk with NBC Sports. Sean, one of the absolute best in the biz, had a great chance to talk to him earlier. So we've got him. We've got a beer review. We've got your cheat mail. And you know what else we've got, Derek?
What's that?
That damn X-Bot.
Oh, that looks so good.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Damn it, Derek, welcome back.
It's good to be back, Mike.
It's good to be back. Ladies and gentlemen, my apologies for blowing out your ears. Let's try this again. Welcome back to this week's edition of Cheaters Never Win, brought to you by Dawn at Fathom Realty. Dawn with Fathom Realty, she sponsors the guest line, and she sponsors selling your house. Powered by the good folks over at Bottle Mix. They sell beer. We drink beer. It's a great partnership. We like to tell you about the beers we drink. We will tell you about them at the end of this podcast. In the meantime, we're going to talk about about hockey. We're going to talk a lot about crap. We're going to talk goaltending. We may talk power play. I don't know what the hell we're talking about, but we're talking. We're talking with you, and we're excited to be back talking to you about Carolina Hurricanes hockey. Derek, you want to talk a little bit about Montreal?
I would love to talk about Montreal. I went to Montreal, but I don't think the people here really care that much about my vacation. All I will tell everybody...
I mean, there's another podcast in town. I'm looking at Chew Kane's cast that, you know, loves to talk about every place they go. So, I mean...
But for real, though.
It's not like cheat mail is taken off of their tweet mail gimmick or anything, because we'd never do anything like that.
No, we would never infringe upon someone's intellectual property, but... For those out there listening, if you haven't been to Montreal, go. If you've been to Montreal, go back. Mike, I want to hit something that you talked about in the intro there when you weren't blowing out people's eardrums.
Please don't hit me.
You said we're going to talk a lot about crap. And okay. By crap, I assume you mean gritty.
Okay, so let's get this off.
Let's do this now, because hopefully by the time we're doing our live podcast at the Rialto on Sunday, gritty will no longer be a thing, and it will be returned to the hellish place from whence it came.
Derek? This is so on brand for you, because you
did gritty. You not use an Oxford comma.
here's what I think about it. Gritty wasn't created for you, Derek. Gritty is for the children. And you know what? I happen to have a now 4-year-old. Happy birthday to my tiny man. I now have a 4-year-old, and I said, Finn, tell me what you think about this. And I just showed him the gritty video, and he goes, Dad, I love him. I'm like, what do you like about it? He goes, I like his googly eyes, and I like the fact he's furry. You, on the other hand.
Right. So we're each dealing with sample sizes of one.
Right, but gritty wasn't
created for you.
Which
I'm pretty sure. But I'm pretty sure, like, I've taken a stats course. It's now been a number of years. Sample sizes of one are not statistically relevant.
But it was the Philadelphia Flyers who actually tested gritty with children.
But these are children from Philly. These are children who are going to grow up and throw batteries at Santa.
Maybe. Who knows?
And those are Eagles fans. And they love this hell beast. This weird, like, Cookie Monster. If Cookie Monster, Ed Sheeran, and Morgan Geeky's headshot all... went on a bender.
You missed how that basically is just Jake Voracek in 2 years.
Well, yeah, if he keeps hanging out with other Flyers.
Right.
Who may be involved in cocaine rings.
I mean, come on, Yuri Laterra. What?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Anyway, I love Geeky. I think Geeky
gritty.
Is great. Or
Gritty.
I love Geeky. I love Gritty, too. I love Gritty. I think Gritty was great. I think he is fun. I cannot.
It's not fun, Mike.
I cannot wait to read the fanfic that is going to be Gritty and the Philly Fanatic.
I absolutely can wait to read that.
I can't. We may read it on air. At some point during like a Patreon exclusive podcast, it might just be Mike Reed's fanfic.
Okay, and I think, look, if we're going to... I shouldn't even say this out loud, but if there's going to be a fanfic of Gritty and another mascot, it's not the Fanatic, it's Yubi.
It's the beast they told you to not worry about.
Yeah. Like, Gritty is if Yubi had a meth problem.
Yeah, but the problem is Gritty's got a belly on him, so I don't know if it's really... Gritty is basically the Artie Lang of methed up.
Oh my god!
Is basically the Artie Lang of methed up mascots, because Artie
too
Lang
too drunk to take pictures with kids
is the only guy that I know of who can have a 6-figure cocaine problem and still be morbidly obese. No, I love Artie Lang. I mean, look him up.
After that,
right there's the Artie book.
Say after that ringing endorsement.
So anyway,
all right. So that's Gritty. You seem to be okay with him.
I love Gritty. I think he's great.
I think Gritty is nothing but nightmare fuel.
Well, I think the Philadelphia Flyers are also based upon, and I'm going to give people. We've got our prediction post coming out early next week. I'm going to go ahead and spill some of the beans right now. I think based upon the power of Gritty and Gritty alone, along, you know, maybe with, you know, Voracek.
So not alone.
And Giroux and a few other guys. I am predicting the Philadelphia Flyers are going to win the Metropolitan Division.
Okay, you've been hanging out with Gritty under one too many bridges.
I love Gritty.
Did you find some denim under there? Make sure to boil the denim that you find under bridges, just so you know.
Anyway, that's part of what's coming to you in the next week or so over at section328.com. We have our big, bad, and bold prediction post that's going to be coming up. We have our team where everybody at the Section 328 family does their predictions. They're never right. They're never close. So that's why I went with Philadelphia, because everybody else was going different directions. And I was like, hey, let's just do something stupid this year. Lots of content coming to you over at section328.com. Maybe the biggest piece of content is going to be coming to you, though, live this week, Derek.
What the what?
That's right. If you guys haven't heard, which means this is probably your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. We are doing a live Cheaters Never Win this Sunday at the Rialto Theater in Raleigh at Five Points. It's the old Art House Theater down in Five Points. They are showing Slapshot at 7 p.m., but you can get your tickets now, $5. We are not making a dime off of this, by the way. This isn't one of those things where it's like, hey, pump up the Rialto and they're paying us a couple bucks a ticket. Nope, not making a dime. Don't want to make a dime.
We would like to make a dime, but not this time.
Our entire intention behind all of this was to basically find an art house theater who would basically show Slapshot on the big screen so we could get together with our hockey friends and watch it. And they were kind enough to give us 45 minutes before Slapshot showing to do a live edition of Cheaters Never Win. So this Sunday, get to the Rialto about 6 o'clock at 6:15. Derek and myself will be doing a live 40-45 minute edition of Cheaters Never Win on the stage at the Rialto, 7 o'clock sharp. In comes Slapshot. You slash with a stick, you feel shame, you go to box.
Yeah, couple things I want to point out. One,
please do.
The Rialto Theater is awesome.
Love it.
I would have said that even before they agreed to have us there and host the Slapshot. The Rialto Theater is fantastic.
And we love them, but if they by chance put Section 328 up on the billboard, we will love them even more.
Oh, yeah. Bad things would happen south of the border on that one. So the other thing with the Rialto Theater, if you haven't been, they are not like most theaters. They are delightfully old school. And part of that, I mean, they are cash only.
I think last time they were cash only. I don't know.
Anyway,
free cash. But they do serve beer as well.
They do serve beer.
Delicious popcorn. Jen Love, is the manager there. Jen will be there. She may or may not be supporting a beautiful Aho Train t-shirt while she's there on Sunday.
There you go.
But find Jen. She will take care of you. She will hook you up. She is phenomenal. She's been a delight to work with. It's amazing how hard it is that you have to work with film distributors to get the rights to show old school movies on the cheap.
So yeah, they have delightful craft beer. Most of it is local from my recollection, but tickets are just $5. Swing by the Rialto in advance if you're passing through Five Points or you want to pass through Five Points. Let them know you're going to be there. A bunch of tickets are sold already. We'd love to completely pack that place out. But after you leave the Canes preseason game on Sunday, you're like, I'm excited. I love hockey. I want to keep this going. Do it. You got a couple hours break. Head down to the Rialto, grab a ticket, come see the podcast, and stick around for Slapshot, because Slapshot is awesome.
So let's talk about that for a second, Derek. So Sunday is kind of the official kickoff of hockey season here in Raleigh.
Hell yeah.
Sunday is the Caniac Carnival. So if you don't have a ticket, you can go out, take advantage of the inflatables, all of the things that they will have outside of the arena. You do need a ticket to get inside this year's Caniac Carnival because it is a live scrimmage against the Nashville Predators. All tickets have been given out and distributed. So find a friend who maybe has a ticket if you don't have a ticket and see if you can get in. It is general admission seating. You're going to be able to sit wherever you like. Season ticket members get in at 12. General public gets in at 12:15. First season ticket members, we did get a little bit of heads up on this from Sarah Daniel over in tickets, so just want to point this out.
Name dropper.
I know. But if your tickets are on your season ticket member account, but they have not been automatically loaded onto your card. So if you listen to this podcast or a season ticket member, either print your ticket out from the account, have it ready as a mobile ticket on your phone, or go in there and transfer the ticket to your season ticket member card so that way you can just slide your card when you can get in. Everybody's tickets are loaded on there, but they are not automatically loaded on your season ticket member card to kind of slide as you get into the door. So thank you to Sarah Daniel, the manager of the ticket operations over at the Carolina Hurricanes for giving us that heads up. Want to share that with you guys. Get in, have a great time, leave there again, head down to Five Points, join us for Slapshot and the live Cheaters Never Win. And then from there, Derek, it's final cuts and opening night tailgate.
That's where I was going, Mike.
Booyah.
Thank you for that. We're going to talk about the opening night tailgate more in front of people at the Rialto, but since the Rialto Theater doesn't hold as many people that listen to this podcast, pat ourselves on the back. What? This is
nice
your
job, Barry.
If you're listening to this podcast and you can make it to the opening night tailgate, this is your invitation. We put out a post today describing some of what's going to be going on. We always have a food theme this year. It is nachos in honor of Marty Nachos. Party Nachos,
yes,
as we call him. We're doing that. We are going to have pizzas provided by Donato's. They're taking great care of us. They have provided us with pizza at other giant tailgates, and we thank them. Their pizzas are delicious. They are sticking with the taco theme, and they are giving us some of the mariachi beef and mariachi chicken pizzas,
ooh,
which look delightful. I haven't had them yet. I look forward to those. We're going to have beer provided by our friends at New Belgium and our friends over at the Mason Jar Lager Company.
Yes.
So we are going to have lots and lots of provided beer.
Two local North Carolina beer companies.
Damn right. Also, Mason Jar Lager Company, owned by Adam, 919 Beer Podcast. You may know him from that way. They're doing some really good stuff. So there's going to be a lot of beer provided. That said, we are anticipating a large crowd. So if there's specific beer you want, we recommend that you bring it. Where should you bring it from? Our friends at Bottle Mix. Go up on Creedmoor Road, talk to Bruce, say, hey, I'm tailgating with 328. I need some good beer for it. They'll set you up. I'm going to review one in a bit that you should probably go get. Tailgate starts at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
That is when everyone should be there. We are going to have we're expecting a good crowd.
Yeah,
I should say.
We hope that we have a great crowd. Again, it's a Thursday. It's not kind of the normal Friday or Saturday kickoff. So I know we are taking off both taking off the day from work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't join us out there, you know, early, definitely get there. We will have the cornhole tournament. You will be able to see the flag posts and the banners and everything. We hope to have a big shindig set up there. We are in the grass in the east lot. We will have a post up on section328.com
We already do, baby.
We'll also have, you know, directions on Twitter and Instagram and all of those other places. I'm sure we'll be doing Facebook Lives that day. So it's going to be a great day. It's one of our absolute favorite days of the year. Friends from far and wide come. I know we have friends from Virginia who are coming. I know we have friends from New York who are flying down for the tailgate. It is going to be an absolute blast. So please, if you are within the sound of our voices, this is a come one, come all. Our only rule is don't be a butthole. If you are under 21, we will ask you politely not to drink our or anybody else's beer. If you are over 21, please come respectfully, enjoy all of the beer and food that we can provide. If you bring something with you, great. We're going to have a bunch of fun. We appreciate everybody who comes out, and this is our way of, you know, kind of reigniting the passion and trying to get the family back together. And Derek, as you may know, Jägermeister is now the official shot of the National Hockey League, and this year, right at 6 o'clock, we will all circle up in the green and in the grass of the East Lot, as we have for approximately the last 15 years, and we will pass a bottle of Jaeger around until it's gone.
Yeah, it'll be around 6 o'clock. I don't know the last time we did anything at a tailgate right on an hour at that late in the day. Also, the sons of bitches at Jaeger haven't gotten back to us.
Yeah, I know. That's okay though. We had a lot of fun.
I will no longer call them sons of bitches as soon as they do.
Yes.
So if anybody listening to this podcast either works for or knows somebody who works for Jägermeister and would like to pair with a group of people who have been drinking and saluting to Jägermeister for the better part of 15 plus years, contact us.
Yeah.
Slide up in these DMs, will you?
We're all there for it. You know who slid up in our DMs this week?
Who dat?
Sean Leahy. Derek, it's that time of year where we get the opportunity to talk to not only some of the smartest people in hockey, but we also get to talk to Sean Leahy.
It's the NHL draft.
Folks, Sean, are you editor and chief bottle washer of Pro Hockey Talk over at NBC Sports?
I am whatever you want to call me. I'm a guy over there.
You're a beautiful human being, folks. He is
number one Chief Rocca.
He is at Sean _ Leahy over on the Twitters. He is one of our favorite hockey people to talk to on the planet. And Sean is all busy during the season, but he is happily taking a few minutes out of his evening to talk to us as we prepare to anoint the Carolina Hurricanes the preseason Stanley Cup champion. So Sean, as a hockey purist, as someone who knows hockey, you know, better than most, explain to us what the F is going on in Raleigh. This is a team that wasn't supposed to do anything, and now all of a sudden stuff's happening? Maybe?
Well, look, it all goes back to the new ownership, right? Tom Dundon's didn't just buy this team to, I don't know, be cheap with it. I guess he's been kind of cheap with it in certain ways, but as far as on the ice, fielding a team, he's a competitive guy, right? He wants to win, and certainly the Canes, when he purchased them, they were a team like ready to take that next step. And certainly the draft day trade, bringing in Dougie and Michael Ferland, who I think is a really underrated aspect of that trade, and good Long Island boy Adam Fox, I think that's going to really, really help them out this year. I mean, you lose Hanifin and Lindholm are nice pieces, but I mean, Dougie Hamilton is definitely one of the top defenders in the league, and Michael Ferland's, like I said, a really underrated forward coming through. And Adam Fox, we'll see what happens in the next couple of years if he makes the jump. But I like the offseason for the Canes. You know, Calvin DeHaan, I like him as a defenseman. If he can stay healthy, he's obviously coming off the big shoulder surgery. And Peter Mrazek is... You know, the goaltending is the goaltending, right? I mean, Mrazek's pretty much a lottery ticket at this point. So 1 year deal. If he flops, whatever, you hope Scott Darling can turn things around. I mean, he can't get much worse than last year. So to me, I've been telling myself this like the last 2 or 3 years. I'm expecting the Canes to, you know, take that next step this season. Everything seems to be in place. Obviously, you know, when Rod Brind'Amour is the guy giving you pregame pep talks, you definitely want to run through a wall. 4-1 every night, so we'll see what happens. But certainly it can't be disappointed with what the Canes did since the end of last season.
So I want to get into some of those players you talked about, Hamilton and Svechnikov and some of the other things, but you mentioned Tom Dundon, the new owner, and I want to get your thoughts from a national perspective, and you talk to other people who cover hockey on a national basis. Do you think more people are excited to write the post that Tom Dundon, new brash owner, is failing because of his inability to listen to hockey people? Or do you think more people are excited to write the article in a year that goes, ha, Tom Dundon's shaking up hockey because he's not listening to hockey people?
No, I think more people, they like to dance on graves, and they like to, there seems to be like a feeling of people, fans, media, whatever, they don't really like owners who meddle into things or are really hands-on. And I mean, from the day he bought the team, Dundon said he was going to be involved in things, and certainly he has been very involved in the big changes that have happened since last season. But he's also, like I said before, he's kind of done on the cheap, right? You get rid of Francis, you promote Don Waddell, who hasn't been a GM since he was running the Thrashers of all teams, and especially when you look at some of the names that were potentially out there that he could have brought in to replace Francis, it may have cost him a little bit more. But he wanted to keep it in-house and felt that was the right thing, and obviously not bringing back Bill Peters, letting him go to Calgary and promoting Brind'Amour, you know, that's obviously a cheaper move, but certainly I kind of like that move. I always like Brind'Amour as a player, but certainly a guy who can definitely get the best out of his players. So, and I don't think, especially when you look at Dundon's past before he bought the Canes and the prime mortgages and all that kind of stuff, I think a lot of people are waiting for him to fail so they can, you know, dance on his grave and write that, ha ha, you suck, stay out of hockey. And let the hockey people run things like they should.
Well, you know, all good hockey guys like to look at history, and, like, you know, we have to look at hockey's history and we have to respect hockey's history. And today, Tom Dundon took a giant step into returning the Carolina Hurricanes to a little bit of their history and announced that the Carolina Hurricanes will be wearing the beautiful whale sweaters for 2 games against, I believe, Adams Division opponents, the Boston Bruins, twice this season. Everybody, it seemed like, outside of Connecticut loved the idea. What was your take, you know, I see this as you know, like everybody does, this is a bit of a cash grab by the team, but this is also potentially Tom Dundon trying to open up some of the history books and maybe bring forth some of the things that have been, you know, tucked under Peter Karmanos's pillow for the last 18 years. So what's your take on the sweaters? Do you love them? Do you hate them? And do you foresee this going even further? Are we going to play a game in Connecticut at one point?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I don't know if you guys remember back in, I think, January, February, after Dundon brought up the idea and said he was open to having the team wear the jerseys in the game in the future. The Connecticut's, I think it's Connecticut's governor or the mayor of Hartford, I forget, wrote a letter to the Canes saying, hey, we want you to play an outdoor game in Connecticut with the Whalers jersey sometime in the future. So obviously he's pretty down with it, but look, it's a cash grab, right? I mean, they've been selling Whalers stuff in the team stores, in the Canes team stores now for a while. They've obviously had them at the NHL store and then also the one in New York City for a couple of years since, I guess, they got complete control of the rights to the logo and stuff. So everyone loves the Whalers. People have been buying them up. I think I have two Whaler shirts in my closet right now. It's obviously some nostalgia, sure. And I understand there's certainly some Canes fans who may not want a piece of this, and obviously some old Whalers fans who might be upset by it. But all these extra jerseys, these third jerseys, they're just a straight up cash grab. That's all they are. Because look, Dundon's a smart businessman. He knows that there's people have a soft spot for the Whale and those jerseys and that awesome logo. So why not bring them out, bring back some nostalgia and fill his coffers while they're at it.
Yeah, you know, what shocked me most out of all of that today, in the last, I believe, 9 months since Tom Dundon has become owner, it was the first positive comment by former Carolina Hurricane Jeff O'Neill. So, you know, maybe this is Dundon beginning to begin some of the repairs that he's done with some of the hashtag hockey guys that have been out there. And you mentioned you mentioned cash grab, and you also mentioned outdoor games. So I kind of want to do on this and maybe take the Canes out of it, because we all know we're getting a Stadium Series game next year. Shh, don't tell anybody. Are we done with the outdoor games, or are we going to continue this just because it is a cash grab?
No, the Stadium Series is here to stay, because like the Winter Classic games are for those TV ratings booming teams, obviously the Blackhawks, as we all know, but like the Penguins, Flyers, Rangers, Bruins, you know, maybe a team like the Predators may work their way into there or whatever, but the Stadium Series games, I'm happy with them doing maybe just one, maybe two max a year of those kind of games, but those are for everyone else again. The Canes, maybe the Blue Jackets, maybe they work in the Stars. Those teams that aren't going to move the TV needle, you know, as great as like a Chicago or Pittsburgh, but so those markets can experience the outdoor game. Because I've been lucky enough to cover probably over a dozen games, and over time, the outdoor games, even the Winter Classic game, because you know the novelty has worn off over the last 10 years, it's really a localized event. If you're watching on TV from your couch, it's not the same. If you're there in the arena, in the area, with the fans outside, with the cold, checking out the fan fest, it's a really, really cool event. And the Stadium Series allows more markets to experience that. And maybe the Canes will get there one day. There was talk the other day about maybe Tampa getting one. I'm sure the Predators will get one soon. So I like the idea, but like I said, I don't like how they did the year. I think it was the year of the Olympics, maybe after the Olympics in 2010, where they had like 6 or 7 of those games in one season, which is insane. Keep the Winter Classic and maybe do 1 or 2 Stadium Series games in the U.S. or in Canada if you want to do the Heritage Classic as well. And to me, I mean, it's already overexposed as it is, but like I said, if more people and more markets can experience them for the first time, it's definitely a really cool event to attend.
I mean, look, commemorative pins aren't made for just any game, so you gotta find a way to show those things out. So, you know, we talked about some of the off-ice stuff. I want to get back. You brought up Dougie Hamilton earlier in that draft day deal. Obviously, San Jose has a little bit more star power, especially now. Wanted to get your thoughts where you might rank the Canes' defense in the league. I think San Jose certainly with the star power, Nashville probably, I think there's not going to be a lot of argument that both of those teams are ahead of Carolina. But how many other teams would you say, at least on paper, have a better blue line than the Canes?
Not many. I mean, I think you definitely got to put them in the top, maybe top 10. You know, just at that, you should just go by their top four. And the great thing about their D, one, they're obviously very good. Two, great contracts. Three, they're young. I mean, who's the oldest guy? I think adding in DeHaan, he's like the oldest guy. Yeah, maybe Falk is the oldest guy.
Yeah, DeHaan's 27, that old bastard.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. And those guys are on multi-year contracts, so they're going to – I mean, who knows about Falk, but he's always in rumors. But those guys will at least be together for the next couple of years and develop together and continue growing and still be young and still, you know, entering their primes and getting better. So that's huge for this where this Canes team is right now, where they're kind of, like I said before, you know, just on the verge of taking that next step. And if you have a blue line like that – could blossom into one of the elites in the league, you know, on par with the Nationals and San Jose's and even what Calgary had, you know, in the last couple of years with Hamilton there, you know, one of the most underrated, you know, blue lines in the league. That's going to be great. And you obviously have the kids up front developing, you know, Svechnikov is going to be great. Obviously, we know Aho and Victor Rask as well, once he gets his fingers, once they grow back. And obviously, Martin Nikash, is that how you pronounce it?
We've heard so many different things. We just call him Party Nachos.
Oh, okay. That works for me. But yeah, he's another guy, and he's only 18, 19 years old. So, I mean, they have these young kids who up front that look like they're going to be pretty much impact players in the next couple of years. So, I mean, it's crazy to say this every single year and always fall short, but there's a lot of potential there, as you guys know. And to me, I think Scott Darling is, we're going to see the real Scott Darling this year. I think last year was just him adjusting to being a number one in the NHL and taking on that workload. It's certainly a different mindset when you're the guy, as opposed to backing up Corey Crawford and kind of being that emergency guy when Crawford faltered for a game or two. And obviously, I think getting that last season was a great deal of experience for him in that role. And like I said, he can't do much worse, right? So he knows how terrible it was. I've read many stories about him talking about last year. So I think he's ready to really kind of show himself as a true number one in this league this year. And it's going to be good things for the Canes.
So, Sean, this is the portion of the podcast where we come at you with a few lightning questions. So, I'm sure you've got all of your prediction posts and everything coming up over on ProHockeyTalk.com, but we're going to go ahead and steal a few of them from you right now. Which team that made the playoffs last year in the Eastern and Western Conference is not going to make the playoffs this year?
In the East, New Jersey, because Taylor Hall, I don't think we're going to see a 2016 point streak again. And he really took them on his back. And Keith Kincaid as well, stepping in for an injured Corey Schneider, did a great job. But other than Hall, you know, they have some nice young pieces there too. But I don't think there's enough around Hall up front to really help them and have them squeeze in. I think a team like Florida or even the Canes could take one of those last spots. And out West, a team that, yeah, I'm expecting really, really fall flat is Minnesota.
Yes.
They didn't change over the roster. I when I was doing the preview stuff this year, I was like, holy cow, they got 100 points last year. How did that happen? I know Bruce Boudreau, you know, he's a successful regular season coach, so always winning division titles and whatnot, but you know, the team is getting old. They didn't change over the roster. Ryan Suter and Zach Parise are going to be there for the next, you know, 20 years or so. Their contracts aren't going away. And Devin Dubnyk, you know, he's not playing like he was when he first got to Minnesota. But I just don't think there's enough there. And I think the teams around him, especially in the Central Division, are got better since last year. St. Louis, you know, Dallas, even Chicago, I think is going to rebound from last year. And I think they're going to have a tough time in the West. And I definitely can see them slipping out.
Which team is going to be slower, the Kings or the Ducks?
I mean, I think the Ducks, only because they're going to be in, you know, put together by duct tape at this point. Every guy's, you know, going down, it seems like every single night someone's getting hurt. The Kings are older, sure, but the Ducks just seem like the way they play outside of guys like Kashe, who I love, and Soderberg, they seem to be always beat up. And I know they got John Gibson. He had a great year last year. But the Ducks are a team as well that I could see slipping out in the West.
Who's your early thought for the Calder, and why is it Svechnikov?
The great thing about this league, man, like every single year you look at like the rookie class, and you there's so many good young players entering this league. It's insane. Right now, I have Casey Mittelstadt in Buffalo. I think he got the I was highly touted coming out of high school. Had that experience at the end of last year, which I think will certainly serve him well. And I think the fact that the Sabres overall are going to be much better than they were last year will certainly help him. And Jack Eichel are going to be huge, relied upon greatly to turn things around. And I think Mittelstadt, just kind of watching how he plays, he certainly has the skill set to be a guy to stand out in what's going to be, to me, probably one of the best rookie classes that we've seen in a long time.
After Mittelstadt shuffles Skinner down to the third line pairing on a scale of mildly disappointing to an absolute freaking dumpster fire, what's Jeff Skinner's first season in Buffalo going to look like?
I think it's going to be a good one. I mean,
that was not on the scale, Sean.
Mike does not speak for me. I can see Skinner scoring 40 on Eichel's wing.
I could see him. I think he'll kind of hover around his typical like 25 to 30 this year. I mean, like, he's proven he could stay healthy after the concussion issue early on in his career. And he's always been a guy who can score and put up points. And now that he's playing with Jack Eichel and maybe even Connor Sheary, a little speedy winger over there, it's going to be a good spot for him. The most interesting thing for me is I know being in Buffalo, he's a little closer to home, but he's in the final year of his deal. Will Jason Botterill give him a long-term deal, 5, 6, 7, 8 years maybe, or because you figure the Sabres won't be in the playoff mix again, will they flip him at the trade deadline? Because they could certainly get some assets for him if he's having a good year and continuing that rebuild. He certainly would bring a nice bounty for a team that's heading to the playoffs if he's having a season where he's scoring 20, 25, 30 goals. So it's going to be an interesting year. He's certainly, his final year of his contract, so he's going to be – he has a lot to play for. He could cash in next summer. So it's going to be fun to see him next to Jack Eichel and see Jack Eichel actually play with some, good players for the first time in a while.
Moving away from the hockey rink and more to a Dallas watering hole, can I get your thoughts on flights of bacon?
Look, it's been like 3 months, and I still don't know how to order that. Like all I wanted was bacon and I wanted to pick the three beers. Why wouldn't they let me pick my three beers? Why do they have to be such hipsters and be like, no, these are the beers you have to have with this bacon? Like, no, I want to pick my beer.
Cause I'm betting those are the loss leader beers to complement the bacon.
Actually, Sean, I have it on
Can
good word.
Or absolute. Oh, then fine.
I have it on good word that those guys who are hipster and demand that you drink their beers with their bacon also enjoy raisin in their trail mix.
Those are the worst people.
The worst people ever. Speaking of the worst people ever, let's talk poorly about people who are now dead to us. Tell us the worst Greg Wyshynski hotel story you have in the last 30 seconds.
Oh, that time he abandoned me in Columbus during the All-Star game where there was a snowstorm the night of the game. And we were going to maybe drive together back to New York the next morning. And I woke up. And I had a voicemail, and he said, "Hey, I took the car. I'm in Pennsylvania, but I didn't want to wake you because you were sleeping." And then I got snowed in until Wednesday. Two days later.
Yeah, that's how the big timers do it. Us people who know where our bread's buttered, we would never leave Sean Leahy. We wouldn't leave him last at the bar. We wouldn't leave him on the side of the road, and we sure as hell would not leave him in Columbus. Sean, You can find all of Sean's musings, all of his great stuff. He is at Sean underscore Leahy over
Sean
on the Twitters.
Sean respects the underscore.
Sean does respect the underscore. Also, NBC Sports Pro Hockey Talk is your leading place to go get everything that there is about the National Hockey League. So, Sean, give the folks a little taste of what's going to be coming up on Pro Hockey Talk over the next week as we ramp up to the season opener next Thursday.
Yeah, we started our previews. We have a division preview. We've had one a day each day this week. Tomorrow we got a roundtable with the crew. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is our prediction for obviously the both conferences, the awards, Stanley Cup final, and some other fun stuff hitting on some of the bigger topics like the Sharks and Carlson, the Caps repeat chances, and you know what to expect from Vegas this coming year. So look for that next week.
Excellent. Everybody go over to at Pro Hockey Talk, prohockeytalk.com. He is at Sean underscore Leahy. He is our favorite Long Island ginger. Not that we want to just say we have other favorite Long Island gingers. We just like to remind people that Sean is our favorite. Sean, thanks so much, sir. We look forward to seeing you in mid-April in Raleigh for a tailgate when the Carolina Hurricanes are taking on the Boston Bruins in the first round.
It's finally going to be our year, Sean. We'll playoffs. All be right together.
I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. We'll see you then, Sean. Take care, buddy.
Later.
Can't wait to see Sean Leahy here in the Carolina Hurricanes when they take their undefeated regular season record into the postseason. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with this whole gimmick.
I appreciate it, Mike. What are you gonna do like after they lose a game?
I have cry.
Okay.
Just send out GIFs of, you know, hashtag pain. They'll all be Anthony Anderson just crying miserably. So, guys, thank you guys. Thank you guys again for Sean Leahy. Seriously, Sean, one of our absolute favorites. One of the conversations, if you actually do come to the Cheaters Never Win and Section 328 kind of opening night tailgate, we will be talking about, who are the four people that we would go to dinner with of our favorite, like, hockey bloggers and that type of thing. Sean Leahy is on most people's lists.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I don't know if he makes Mr. Workrace list, though.
Oh, no. They can talk Long Island things.
Well, but there is also hashtag Knish beef. Mm. Instead of beef Knishes, which are completely different, I think. Anyway, so thanks to Sean for coming on. Again, Pro Hockey Talk at Sean underscore Leahy, respecting the underscore. Derek, what's next?
I mean...
Cheat mail. Oh. Cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail.
So there's not a lot of cheat mail today, Mike, which okay. is fine because I assume everyone is holding their cheat mail for the live in-person cheat mail on Sunday. We didn't touch on that as part of the podcast. It's going to be at the Rialto. We're doing live cheat mail, so if you have a cheat mail question, be ready to yell it at us.
Yeah, we'll have 15 minutes. We've got a 45-minute podcast. At least 15 minutes of it is going to be cheat mail. So come with your cheat mail questions, unless you're James Pendergraph Howard. And then come with your letter.
Man, you went like middle name on it. Is he in trouble?
No, but he is amazing.
That I can confirm. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you the first one here from at Harry and Cranky. If you had to pick another mascot other than an ice hog to represent the Canes, what would it be and what would their name be?
Ooh, that is a great question, Harry and Cranky. If I were to pick a new mascot for the Carolina Hurricanes, I should have put some thought into this. Can I steal?
I should have too.
I'm going to steal Sean Leahy's answer, and I would take. Actually, no. You know what I would do?
What's that?
I would create a bigger, angrier, more nightmarish Gritty.
How?
I don't know. I would workshop it with the children. Like, I'm sure they would help me.
Are you going to force feed Gritty Four Locos, like the original Four Locos, not this watered down nonsense?
Basically,
I would take
a combination of Gritty. And Snuffleupagus.
Okay.
Yeah. But there would have to be like a mascot duo because someone has to always have him be following him around with like a big fan so that way his fur is blowing.
So my mascot's going to be something completely different.
Okay.
Mine is going to be a representation not of the fact that there was kind of a play into the Ice Hogs. And supposedly Scott Van Pelt had a whole piece, I don't know exactly when it was, talking about the origins of Stormy and how it was kind of a favor to not call the team the Ice Hogs or something like that. If anyone has that video, tweet it to us at section underscore 328 because I missed it. I saw it in the timeline, then I lost it. Anyway, please do that. Secondly, I would have a mascot that represents local media and the way local media covers the Canes. So the mascot would just be a guy shrugging. You know, things kids want to take a picture with. It's just like an overdone caricature of a guy going like, meh.
That'd be the mascot. And its name would be Goldie.
Okay. Why not?
Adam Gold.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
There you go.
There it is.
There it is. That's the punchline we've been waiting for. Derek, do we have any other cheat?
We have one other cheat mail question, but it's from Pat Clark. So a little inside baseball. Actually, it was more of an Ask Leahy. Oh, here you go, Mike. Here's one more.
Okay.
This is from Carl Luke Kikas. Does Phil DiGiuseppe start opening night?
No, because Phil DiGiuseppe will get waived. PDG doesn't make the final roster. One of my other thoughts, Warren Fogle is making it. If it gets down to the kids staying Quoke or having PDG, if we have Fogle and Ferland and McGinn on this team, there is no space for the role of Brock McGinn. So the role of the role of PDG will be played by Hjani Kuokkanen.
Okay.
I like my answer.
So there's a cheat mail.
There's your cheat mail. Everybody save your cheat mail for Sunday. Other things we'll be saving for Sunday: beer.
Well,
and a beer review.
Yeah, we'll have that as well.
I mean, we'll have beer.
It's not a podcast without a beer review. So today I went into Bottle Mix and I was like, "Hey, Bruce, here's where we are. We are a week away from opening night. I want to talk to the people about a great beer for the opening night tailgate. If you look at a forecast now, it looks like it's probably going to be in the low 80s. Things could change. It could be like the season finale tailgate and end up being 47 and raining all damn day. I doubt it, but you never know. So I planned on, though, kind of warm weather beer, and you don't want to drink anything high alcohol. And I've done a lot of IPAs and New England IPAs as beer reviews on this podcast because I could drink those all day. But I know a lot of you listening to this, even if it's the most mild of IPA, still hear those letters and go, I don't want that beer. And I want you to find a beer that you can love. So again, talk to Bruce at Bottle Mix. Mike, happen to know where Bottle Mix is by any chance?
Yeah, Bottle Mix is on Creedmoor Road here in Raleigh, about 2 miles north of Crabtree Valley Mall and Glenwood Avenue, about a mile south of the 540 Creedmoor Road intersection. It's behind Wendy's in the same shopping center as Margo's.
That's the place.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. So again, one of there is like, I need the perfect beer that you could session at a tailgate that's refreshing, that's not really hoppy, because I want more people to be able to enjoy this stuff. He says, well, I've got this thing for you. It's from the Unknown Brewing down in Charlotte.
Love Unknown.
And here's the thing. This beer is called Pregame. How perfect is that of a name for a tailgate beer? And it originally started as more of a session ale. They're kind of switching Pregame to now more of a Pilsner-style beer. So if you go to their website, it's not going to tell you anything that's all that helpful, other than the fact that it's 4.5% alcohol. If I look at the can of beer, it says it's a Pilsner. That's 4.5% alcohol, and a Pilsner is not a session ale. So, unfortunately, I can't tell you a whole lot from the brewery about what this beer is. What it is, it's very light in color. It's a light gold. It smells like beer.
Looks like a beer-flavored beer. It smells like a beer-flavored beer.
There is no citrus. There's no floral. There's no, like, bitter hop to it, which I love all those things. This is just clean, crisp, and refreshing. And you taste it, and it's like, Yeah, that's beer-flavored beer.
Let me get a little pull of that.
But there's some flavor there. There is a little bit of, like, some malty flavor to it. There's
a tiny hint of, like, a lemony citrus something there. There's a nowhere near a shandy or anything. It's just good.
Yeah, it is light. It is refreshing. It's crisp without being bitter. It finishes real nice. It's 4.5% alcohol. And a six-pack's like, I don't know, something in the neighborhood of $10. So a sixer, if you come out at 3 o'clock, you have a sixer before the game or something.
Maybe throw in one of the ones from Mason Jar. Maybe throw in one of the ones from New Belgium. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe
then you got a couple beers to share with a friend.
Maybe you're a little sauced up before we go into the game and cheer on your Carolina Hurricanes taking on the New York Islanders.
Yeah. So,
and the jaunt of... No, oh, wait.
Yeah. So recommend the pregame. If you want something a little different, still head into Bottle Mix to get all your tailgating beers that you're going to bring. Because even though we do have beers from New Belgium and Mason Jar, there's going to be a lot of people. They're going to drink all the beers. You're going to want at least a couple of things for yourself. So go to Bottle Mix and pick out what exactly you want for the rest of your tailgate beer.
Yeah. We're going to have as much food as we can potentially have. Our goal isn't to feed the planet. Our goal is to make sure everybody has a little taste of everything. But if you have a massive appetite, feel free to bring something along with you. We always have extra food. We always have beers. We always have the Jaeger. And we always have great friends. We always make new friends. So, and if you happen to be a cornhole team and you'd like to take on the new surgically repaired world champions of the world,
baby,
I would suggest you don't even show up because we run that lot.
I know a guy whose name rhymes with Jack that may have some disagreements with that, but we'll talk to him on Thursday. The other thing I wanted to say, if you're coming out of the tailgate and foodstuffs are on your mind, check out our tailgating section on our website. We ran a tailgate recipe contest over the summer, which was won by a woman named Danielle, and her recipe for no-bake cookies, which I look forward to trying at the tailgate. But if you're looking for a great recipe, there are a lot of great options there in our tailgate recipe finalist section. So check those out. Get some inspiration. Put a twist on it. Make it your own. Bring it to the tailgate. We will be happy to judge your foodstuffs.
Yeah, we will do all of the judging. Before we go into PNC Arena 4, Derek, we are officially 1 week away. As we record this, we will be in the midst of the third period of the first
game. Only up 11-0, too. That's weird.
Of the first game of the Carolina Hurricanes 2018-2019 campaign. It has been a long off season, my friend. Glad to be back behind the mics. Glad to be back here talking to you, our friends, our fans, our folks who'd go down this path with us. Can't wait to see everybody on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see everybody on Thursday in the east lot of the PNC Arena. It'll be us. It'll be you. Might be a little fudgy the whale action. I don't know. But you know what's going to happen? Your Canes are back, folks. Let's go do this. Until next time, my name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
We're still out of here.
Pew!